Well, good morning. We're going to do a lesson, and I hadn't decided whether it's going to be a one-piece or a two-piece. It's a lot, and I don't like to do long things because I actually get to hear people talking about stuff like that. I used to, at least before I was deaf. Anyway, we're going to do that. It's a possibility we may have a two-weeker. It's a good possibility we won't. We're going to talk about small things that become large in the hand of God. I think one of the things happens in the world of religion is we think that we've got God down pat and we can just follow this and these things over here and do 47 things over here and we got it down. And that's not so. If you could do everything that could be done today, tomorrow God could fill that all up, actually before we got home. God's got a universe full of stuff for us. Small things become large when they're in the hand of God. You can take small things and God can make it huge. God can make it grow. God can make it do things. If you're a mother, father, or grandfather, mom or dad, this text is for you. This gets everybody. Don't matter how old you are, you're going to get in this. Typically, we like to see huge actions, you know, when something happens. We want to see big things happen. But overlook those things that are smaller. We tend to do that. You know, it's easier to eat a squirrel than it is a hippopotamus. Isn't that true? I mean, you could do either one of them. One of them's going to take you a while to digest. You could make it with a squirrel and still get the 6 o'clock news today. In Acts 16, 1-5, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Now, you talk about differences in people. There are people, but this very day, somewhere in this general area, whose, say, the mother is one expression of faith and the father is another expression of faith and one goes to one place and one goes to other. Does that happen every week somewhere around here? The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along on a journey. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that this father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened, and in faith they were strengthened and grew daily in numbers. I remember seeing times where there were people coming into Christ daily over lots of years. I've seen that, and you've seen it too. The churches were strengthened in faith, grew daily in their numbers. So since we are discussing here a Jewish-Greek mix in the bloodline of this young man named Timothy, we should remember that this door was opened to him by the very prejudiced fella we know as Peter. He messed up a lot of stuff. He was one of those kind of guys that if you do a little bit, he would do a huge bit and mess up everything. Kind of like greasing a car. Greasing a car is important. You know that? But you don't have to put 50 pounds of grease on the car because it will show up. Timothy lived here. His mother was a Jewish believer, but whose household was a father that was a Greek. Timothy was Paul's special, chosen close to his side, running partner in the ministry. This is where he was. And he's also a dear friend. And when you got somebody like that running with you, yeah, that's good stuff. I'm going to tell you, doing ministry in a lot of places is really difficult. There's people that, you're not going to believe this, but not everybody talks like people in Louisiana. I couldn't believe it. Why would God allow them to change the best voice you could get going? If you looked at it closely in the reality of the situation, two other Jews saw him, and he would be seen then as a half-breed. To say the least, this kind of family dynamic would have likely been very unusual in that day and time. It appears that this mixed breed, Timothy, made a choice to follow his Jewish half more than his Gentile half. Well, that's going to put some pressure on people. The dynamic of the family is not illuminated in the text, but there are some conclusions we can reach from what Paul has had to say when he writes to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:1-7, Paul, apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayer. How would you like to know that somebody was saying those words about you every day? Wouldn't that make you feel good and, you know, make you want to do something better? I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears, and I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy, and I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift God has given, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to be holy, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus. And listen to me. I want you to get this real clear. I didn't write this. This is in the scripture, okay? This grace was given us in Jesus before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time. Now, you got an anchor point right there. Before time, God already had it set out. You say, well, I'm working this. You ain't working nothing. God was busy working for and with you before time began. That means before you were born, before you could drive, before you could run, before you could do anything. That's my God. I do not have to worry about God and what He does. This grace was given me in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let me ask you this. Are you in covenant with Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Do you know that you will walk again on this earth? God did not create this place to blow it up. He created it for his people to live. That's big stuff. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed. Listen, does that sound like to you that God is on your side? Does it sound like to you that God is not only on your side, but He's really, authentically on your side? That's who you have. Well, I messed up yesterday and I said something I shouldn't say. Well, I suspect there was a few of us yesterday did that. And I suspect some of them will do that tomorrow. But right here where we stand in this covenant, what does Jesus see? He sees only His own righteousness. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Watch this, who lives in you. That means that God, the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. Is God in you? You go over here, is God in you over here? Over here? What if you're somewhere else? God's still in you? This is what God did for you. What we heard from you, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Let's talk about that for a minute again. If the Holy Spirit is God, and God does not reside up on the front bench up here, but rather inside of you, how clean are you? God has no junk, right? There's no junky room in His presence. Are you saying that you're as clean and holy as God is clean and holy? Not because you're so great at it, because who cleans you up? You were cleaned up by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God said, I'm just going to stay here. Anything needs brushing out, I'll brush it out. He's going to keep you clean. You don't beat a deal like that. It's interesting that the first real thing Paul mentioned to Timothy was how he's raised. I'm going to tell you something. I was raised in Spring Hill, Louisiana, and if you said stuff you shouldn't say, you didn't come in here and get a switch. They already had a belt. And if the belt wasn't good enough, they would get whatever was out. Didn't matter what it was. Stick, rod. He made a point to encourage him in his faith and his ministry. And when discussing his ministry, Paul didn't appear to give him some great instructions on how to get it done. He was certain that he encouraged him in his faith and in his ministry, which was common to do, and that's what we all do to one another. You know, none of us really need a whole bunch of stuff. What kind of junk do any of us need? Now, when we were young, we picked up every kind of junk we could find, didn't we? You know, some of you just didn't have that pedigree, but you pick up anything. You have an old broke bicycle? I can fix that. I don't know how many of those things I drove home. Lawnmowers? I mowed 20 yards when I was a young boy, and I wore out lawnmowers every year. But it wasn't good enough. I didn't want to go buy another one, so I fixed the old ones when I was 10. People don't do that like that again. And it's just not about fixing stuff like that. It's about fixing what's before us. Paul chose to take a look at how this young man was raised, both by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Both Eunice and Lois had created a legacy of belief in which they lived and in which they instructed the young Timothy. Now, I'm telling you this kind of stuff because you could go and open the Bible and read it, and, you know, and in a few hours you could do the whole thing from one side to the other. But what Paul did is he didn't do it for him. He did it, what it appears to me, with him. What's the difference between for and with? Yeah, you got support like that. You know, once, like, Paul could strike out and go anywhere, any direction in the world he wanted to. These other guys, like me and I couldn't do it. I need some direction. But this is what he did. He helped this boy to be strong. When Paul stepped up and took on Timothy as his special project, he started immediately to create a resolve in himself to use his life, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, and turn that also into Timothy so that it will come from both of them. And there was a powerful, powerful work that came to the New Testament as it was being spoken and then written and put down in graphic form. God looks for us to do more than just menial stuff. Make something last. When he took on Timothy, he took on a lot. Timothy had grown up in the hands of the two women, Eunice and Lois, and had known no other way to live except by faith. Wouldn't you love to see all of it that way? But it's not so. Do you know, I had a thing I did some years ago. I decided to do a string of sermons and put them together on paper, one after another. And I didn't want to give them to the preachers. It's not that I couldn't have. I could have done that. But you find out that the more you give like that, the more hands will start to come out of the pockets for everything and want you to do all of it for them. I had about 15 sermons, I mean, complete word-to-word, everything. My name wasn't on it anywhere and all of that. And I put it out and said, $1 a sermon. I'm going to tell you, if you can do a sermon for $1, it's going to take you a whole lot of hours to do that. You know what the guys did? Because I tracked it. They sent me my $5 or whatever it was, and then they started doubling the guys they handed it to. Same stuff. God's people don't do that. If somebody gave you something, you know what you ought to do with it if you need to get rid of it? Give it away. Well, that's a big old pile of paper. I can tell you this. I have run some paper through my printer in lesson form and doing things. There's still stuff in that room back over yonder that was written and is still there. I want to know that we're in the right place. I think I would like to, if it's with your permission, let's break this in half and do the other part of it the next time. Can we do that? Would that offend you? No. I know the answer to these questions. We need to know who we are. We need to know why we're here. I'm going to tell you with all confidence, you're going to mess up, especially if you hang out with me. You're going to get it wrong sometimes. It's not about all the rightness that we get in the world. It's the righteousness that God's looking for. So we're going to pick this up, and we're going to do the other part of it with your blessing, I hope. I want to extend this and look at it. It might turn to 3. I don't know. But what's time for a hog? Who knows? Who cares? I know this. I love you, and I've loved you for a lot of long years. And I don't intend to mess that up. you just don't throw away something like that. Let's pray. Father, you give us so much in our life. You just overpower us. You just give us stuff that's so big and so fantastic that we can look across the world and see your hand wherever we go. We thank you for all the love that you give us. We thank you for caring about the whole human family. And enough that you would say, among some of us, would you please get in there and correct those boys of mine, those girls of mine, and get them back on the right track and get them back going where they need to be in their life. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Through Christ we pray. Amen.